Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would mislead us and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above, full of faith and hope and love. Let us do your bidding, Father, and follow where Christ guides. Amen. Last week, Pastor Walther talked about what Paul had written earlier on in Romans chapter 12, where he said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." This week we hear in our gospel reading Jesus say something similar when he rebukes Peter by saying, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Now the cheeky response to something like that would be along the lines of, "Well, of course I have in mind the things of man. After all, I am a man." But that doesn't cut it with Jesus. Jesus is not rebuking Peter because he thinks that Peter should be thinking like an angel or like a god, as opposed to thinking like a human. Rather, Peter's human thoughts are not in line with God's thoughts for humans. Peter had put his thoughts before the words that Christ had just told him. And what Peter had balked at, that Jesus was going to be crucified, Jesus then takes and applies to everyone who wants to follow him. "If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Those are the things of God that Jesus was talking about. And what frightened Peter and what frightens us is that that is all very much down to earth and its implication for our human lives here, including possible bodily harm. Not all crosses are mental. Not all crosses are metaphorical, as much as we like to think that way these days. No, Jesus is calling Peter and the disciples and us too to a life behind him, a life in allegiance to him above everything else. Above, he says, above even yourself. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself." And following that will play out in our lives here and now. Not just in some far off, imagined heaven somewhere. You are called into Jesus' kingdom right now. And a life of allegiance to Christ is lived out already here. And Jesus says that that has consequences. And note, when Jesus is saying here to deny yourself, he is not simply saying, "Don't be selfish, that things work out better that way." Now, Jesus is clear that following him may not make for a happy life at all, because in following him, in holding to him above everyone and anything else, well, this will bring friction. This will bring conflict in a world that demands allegiance to a lot of other things. In our epistle reading, Paul talks a little bit more about what this life of following Christ looks like. He says, "Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." Okay, we think that is obvious enough. "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." That is true, we get that. We probably work on that in our own lives a little bit. This is a good pep talk that he's giving us. "Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints." Read those and say, those are all good reminders. All right, remember, pray tonight. Remember on your way out, chip in to help out those people who are down in Houston and have lost everything. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." Now that is a little bit harder. That is something that we will have to work on. That sounds more than just Paul saying, "Don't lose your cool in the heat of the moment." That sounds more like speaking and asking for what is best, even for those who speak poorly about you. even for those who are adversarial to you. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. No, okay, Paul, hold on here. Now we recognize, we see, you can see where he's going, and you know that this is flirting with the path to loony land, right? Does Paul mean to say that we might not know as much as we think we do? If that's the case, sure, we'll probably admit that much. But is Paul saying that we are to be doormats? Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And when it gets that far, I am sure that Paul lost us. But why? If I have to guess, I think he's probably lost us because that sounds weak. And that is not comforting because it sounds like being run over. It sounds like being crushed by the world. And you hear that and you look at your newspaper and you say, how does that fit in with a world where there are riots, where there are protests, where there are demonstrations and brawls? How does that fit in with a culture that seems to hate Christianity and the life that we are called to? Because we know that mushy stuff is not going to protect our rights. Right? That mushy stuff is not going to protect our freedoms. That mushy stuff is not going to protect our lives. That is not the way that the world works, Paul. Peter knows that, and we do too. What we think works is strength, power. We won't go so far as to say that might makes right, but we do think that might makes safe, right? Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I have no doubt that Peter had in mind the same reaction that we do when we hear Jesus or Paul or the rest of the scriptures, and they say that type of thing. What unnerves us is people who have minds that are in a large part educated by and conformed to the world, is that Jesus' call puts us on defense in ways that the world does not respect, right? Not being proud, but rather being humble, being patient in tribulation, not cursing those who hate you, not taking vengeance. And Jesus' call puts us on offense in ways to worldly ears sound pathetic, showing honor to others, being constant in prayer, blessing those who curse you, feeding your enemies, overcoming evil with good. Are you joking? Right? And if that sounds ludicrous to you, repent. You do not have in mind the things of God, but rather the things of man. If anyone would follow Jesus, they must deny themselves, pick the crosses, and get behind him. What sounds crazy to us is that the path that Jesus proposes does not sound like a winning path. It does not sound like it guarantees our safety. It doesn't sound like it guarantees justice, like it guarantees our rights, like it guarantees our comfort, like it guarantees victory. And guess what? You are correct in all of that. It doesn't guarantee any of that stuff. When Jesus talks about going to Jerusalem and being crucified, he actually gets killed, right? So much for his rights. But you are called to follow him. And your allegiance to him is, or at least should be, higher than your allegiance to your rights. higher than allegiance to your country, higher than your allegiance to your comfort, higher than your allegiance to your own life. The world we live in will want to trade you all sorts of stuff for that. But Jesus warns you that is a bogus trade. What can a man give in exchange for his life? Right? Death is coming no matter what. There's no way around it. We have not found a way around it yet. You are going to lose your life. And no amount of strength, no amount of rights, will be able to ward it off. You will not be able to trade any of that for it. On the other hand, the life that Jesus promises, the life that he calls you, ultimately does involve a resurrection, a life after death. His victory is a victory over the grave. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Like I said, the sinful world will want to trade you for that. The life that you're called to here in 21st century America, your allegiance to Christ, will probably not come down to you standing before a judge where he simply gives you the ultimatum, Jesus or death. Right? Now, it may. If it does, you know the correct answer. But the life that we've been called to here is one where our allegiance is threatened in much smaller ways, in much subtler ways. Right? In ways that we are tempted to think, that doesn't matter. I can easily give that away. I can live without that. Forget about the physical cross for a second. We are likely to betray Christ for comforts and for rights, for the esteem of people outside of the church. We are tempted to trade in for higher salaries. We are tempted to trade it in for physical safety. Ours is a world where our faith can be nickeled and dimed away to bankruptcy by the end of our life. But Christ tells you, he calls you to deny yourself. Take those hits and follow me. And the way that he fights back against the world, right, the way that he fights back against the culture is love. Right? Jesus loves the world by going to the cross. And if you want to follow him, that is the path, guys. That is what you are called to. That is why Paul says, that's why Paul writes what he writes in Romans chapter 12. Bless and do not curse. Be patient in tribulation. Constant in prayer. Do not repay evil with evil. Do not avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Overcome evil with good. Paul writes like that because that sounds like Jesus, who is raised by the Father to glory. And the lives of those who follow Jesus are wrapped up in his life. They are wrapped up in his life to the cross, as well as his resurrection afterward. But it also means that our lives now belong to him. And so, as Paul will say elsewhere, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. He has in mind the things of God. Let us also have that same mind. Amen.